The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Driving band, Midnight Oil. Listen to that. For our friends in Australia, we have lots of friends in Australia. Spike's Car Radio. I don't know if you're a Midnight Oil fan like I am. Of course, that's Peter Garrett, Rob Hurst, Jim Mowgli, Martin Rotsey. I really love those guys. I used to love listening to them, and I think they're coming to LA. Actually, they're going to be playing in LA over the summer here. Big tall guy. I think he's a lawyer like you, Zuckerman, right?
Yeah. Smart guy.
And
like me.
And a crazy karate type dancer. They're really amazing.
Didn't he get elected to their parliament for a little while?
Yeah.
He's got a lot of good stuff to say. He was way ahead of the time.
Way ahead.
Yeah.
He cared about the environment when no one else did.
He did.
Yeah. In the early 80s.
And he was big
about
and
past.
Yeah.
Cared about what was done to Aborigines and everyone else. When no one else cared, he cared.
They're from Sydney, Australia.
Him and Ed Begley.
Welcome to Spike's Car Radio. It's good to be with you guys. Johnny Lieberman is here. Zuckerman's here. You came in that Maserati MC20 that I had.
I did. Is this the same one you had, the blue one?
I think that's the only one floating around.
Yeah. I think they have a black press car. I just wasn't sure which one you had.
And did you have it out at Bill's this morning?
I did. I brought it to Bill's.
It was going nuts there today.
It was good.
We drove by. Yeah. We didn't want to stop. We drove through the canyons, but it looked crazy.
It was. It was good. It was. But at 12:30, there was a purple Lamborghini SVJ put in neutral. For literally no reason. And I was like, time to go.
I tried to pull into Bill's yesterday. I was driving the 70 Coupe DeVille, and it was too crowded.
Yeah, we were there yesterday.
Were you?
What time?
I must have pulled in there around 1.
Oh, we came right after that. How did we miss you? How are we not communicating?
I don't know. You guys were busy. I was busy.
We were?
I think you were.
I ate dinner there. Oh, I can't. We can't. That's right. Yeah. We wrapped up around 4 o'clock.
Yeah. You were much after me. I was earlier. I will tell you, this was my first PCH drive in the Coupe DeVille.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely, wonderful. Everything that car was made for PCH. That is PCH.
But
that car.
There was no traffic yesterday.
Even in traffic, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
It does not to me. It was the perfect temperature. I've got the brakes. I've got the steering. I'm driving that thing. For me, that's a Fiat 500 now. I can play Frogger. It's not nice. Fiat 500 for anyone else, but for me, it's perfect.
And who was responding to the car on the road?
Everybody. Well, mostly guys. Mostly guys. Mostly.
Oh, yeah. You know, the women don't respond to cars.
Well, they do. A woman did. That's she wanted true. To know what year it was and then said it. Told me it had the same lines as a 57 Chevy. Okay, not really, but I'll give you credit for responding to
same city
vehicle.
Yeah, both from Detroit. Yeah,
yeah. Well, you know, GM.
Old. We were out this morning in the first production 911 and the 82 Targa, which I told you, Zuckerman, I drove it last week, and it was falling apart. It's just sitting there, right? It'd been in my hangar, not in yours. Turns out there were two plugs that weren't firing, 2 and 4, broken, just broken off. But the boys next door here took care of it. And
Superformance.
Well, I wasn't going to give them a plug. I paid them, but yes, Superformance. And it's a dream. You have to drive the car now. I drove it out yesterday and I was going, oh no. I wondered if one of the plugs had been out the whole time, because today's cruise and yesterday's cruise are just dreamy in that car.
Why don't you take the Caddy to the lot? Tomorrow, you're filming tomorrow?
Oh,
come on. Hooray for Hollywood.
If you knew the little entrance twist I have to make into the cement parking garage with the 3 foot high, like cement raised, you have to go through the guard booth like this in a almost a
dog
in,
leg, like you're crossing.
No,
the
no,
border.
No. In this space, on this platform we're on, there's a quick where you are just sweating bullets for your rims.
For those of you listening from home, it's a very small platform we're on.
I couldn't get it in. I would totally do it, but I couldn't get it in. But, you know, when you're working, for me, when I'm working, I need the least stressful vehicle because I'll crash. My head is...
this is a very stress-free vehicle, but you'll crash. Problems. This would be great.
Yeah, I would crash your car.
But anyway, when do we podcast from it? That's what we got to do.
When first and Sesto.
And we could have done that today. I didn't. Yeah. I just forgot about that show.
Yeah, yeah,
that
would be
good. But for the listener, I will say...
Isn't this all for the listener?
This is all for the listener. But for the listener who's interested in this car.
Yes.
$60. $60 round trip. $60 to Malibu and back.
Well, it started with me asking Johnny the MC20. So the big show at Bill's.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that car got a lot of attention. I was sent pictures.
It was good.
What, I want to know what you think. I want to
review it real quick? I think everything's really nice in terms of performance, except for the brakes. It has like Fricocta Ferrari brakes, meaning
they're too grabby, right?
No, they're not grabby enough. It's if you're going real fast, real hard, and you go to hit the pedal, like in a Porsche or mm-hmm. a Cadillac, like, you know, the first 20% of the pedal does 80% of the stopping. This one, you panic because it's like nothing's really happening at first. And then you got to get way into it. And then you're in the ABS and you've overslowed. And Ferrari, the F8 Tributo feels exactly the same. So I think it's like the same
Tributo.
Master. I think it's the same master cylinder. So they got to fix that. And then I would say that for $212,000, interior's a little plain Jane. I like it, but it's a little plain Jane.
Yeah. But it's an encouraging step forward, I found.
Phenomenal. Right? They got to fix stuff like the door handles are stupid on the inside of the car.
I got to say, when it was texted to me, I got excited. I'm like, oh, I forgot how much I like that car. Now seeing it here in the hangar, I like it.
I give it a 9 out of 10. Just saying there's like little things.
Yeah, no, I agree, yeah.
That and the other thing is, you remember the frunk and the trunk behind the engine?
Yeah.
And then you look at any 911 or any McLaren, and you're like, you can't even really go on a weekend trip with this because you can't fit a suitcase in it. And that's just weird to me. It's just weird. So, but very, very nice car. Very nice car. Great engine. Great handling.
If you want a car, you should go to collectingcars.com. Live for bids right now, 2007 Aston Martin Vanquish S. Anybody who loves a rare spec is going to love this Aston Martin. Look, there it is right there.
2007.
Cars. Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
Under the hood. The S, 520 horsepower, V12. This one ordered in rare Berwick bronze, like Zuckerman. He was ordered in the same bronze.
Same as my
bitter face. Chocolate. Look at his face. It's Berwick bronze.
I was
going to
say your head, but yes. Wow.
Poor nice car. Comprehensive maintenance. The whole deal. Only one of 1,100. And, I should buy this car. 72 Dino 246 GT. Not the GTS, so the hardtop.
Uh-huh.
If you want a 100-point Concours car, then this is not the Ferrari Dino. Well, wait. Oh. So this is a driver. But if you love originality, then check this 246. Let's see. What do we have? E-Series car. Dino is numbers matching. Still wearing factory applied Rosso Chiaro paintwork and beige. So original paint. Plastica vinyl trim. Daytona seats. Those are nice. Ordered new by an Australian. Tourist delivery. Maybe it was Midnight Oil.
Is it wrong-hand drive?
It is.
Oh, you don't want that.
But that's you don't have to tell me that.
Yeah.
43,000 miles. But if you're in Australia, you're looking for something cool. Or if you're just looking for something cool, collectingcars.com.
We love
our big sponsor. We love those guys. I'm on their site all the time because they have cool stuff.
I was going to say, you're getting the Netflix bucks, right? So you could, when the movie's done, buy yourself a Dino.
Well, we have plans.
Okay.
Zach, I've spent all of his money three times over. He's not spending any of it, but I have plans with his money. I have plans with your money.
No, we have. We just got a November build date for the GT4 RS from our friends at Clearwater Porsche, otherwise known as Bertie Smith. And that car's wild, Zuckerman. We got the go-ahead for some special wishes stuff, and it's good. It'll be in here in time for Christmas, time for the Jewish holiday, whatever you celebrate over there. Look at him.
I celebrate money. Every day's a holiday when I make money.
I like it. It's rare that it's happened, but when a car gets delivered right around Christmas, I do get pretty excited because I get something for once. I don't just have to make the money to buy other people things. I get something cool. I
hate that holiday, but we can talk about that later in the year.
Well, let's talk about the big, our bet, $1,000 bet, if you guys missed the show.
Because Lieberman's a sport. He's in for a dollar.
I only do dollar bets. It makes life easier. Shut up.
You
gave me a dollar. We can talk about that.
$1,000 and one that I would get COVID by year's end.
Yeah.
Right? Good bet. Solid bet.
Great bet.
And as we know, I podcasted with Matt Ferrer, and he bloviated right into my face for an hour and 8 minutes, and he had COVID, and I did not get it. I did not get it. Now, the following week, my wife invited me to Arizona for a wedding.
It's COVID central.
This is the week before we start production at Netflix. And, you know, when you're in a production, you've got to really... They'd rather you don't even go to the gym. They don't even want you grocery store shopping because you get yourself into trouble. You get everybody sick. It's kind of... So I declined, and I said, I can't go, and I'll stay home and take care of the kids, but I really wish you wouldn't go. But it was her best friend, and her, what do they call it at the wedding? Her maid of honor at our wedding.
You got out of that?
And we love this girl, and I said, go, and we'll catch and capture you when you return. Don't take the kids. And she came back and Sunday night and said, I have a tickle in my throat to get in that room. And sure enough, she had COVID. Uh-huh. She got COVID at the wedding. And dodged the wedding COVID bullet. But I'd spent an hour or two with her, but not in close quarters. When she came close to, I said, just please stay away. I know you're going to get it. Also, the bride got it. Also, a bunch of people. It's the classic story.
Happy honeymoon.
It's the classic story, but they had a great time, so I think it was worth it.
A great time dying.
But, of course, I'm thinking about our bet. God, there's a lot of money. What, I'm going to have to pay Zuckerman. When am I going to see him? I called the catch and capture team on the show that we're working on, and they sent over all these. We isolated that girl, and we set up these air filters. And today, now, a week later, she's COVID negative. She tested negative. They put her on that miracle drug thing. Not our company, but her doctor did.
I thought they saved that for the unhealthy people, and she is the most healthy person I know.
Well, I cannot speak to her medical condition. I don't know what happened with her and her doctor. I know she got it. But she got it, and it's all gone. The COVID's gone. And we were tested twice a day, the boys and I. I've had a kid in my room. And here I am. As I sit before you now, I've dodged a second bullet.
No,
second bullet.
When's
Zuckerman.
The movie wrap?
We've got another 180 days plus before the bet's over.
I can't talk about the movie wrapping or any of that, but I can tell you that is not my risk zone. As you've seen, my risk zones are presenting themselves.
Yeah.
No. One is the family, and the other is Matt Farah, and the other one's you guys, and the other one's Jerry.
Right.
But Watch out for that throat tickle and the pickle tickle.
What I'm saying is
none of those tickles are good.
Once the movie's done, your guard goes way down. Cases go way up come October.
Okay, I can tell you
now. We're in the money, baby.
I can tell you right now from what I'm seeing, and I'm sure what folks around the world are seeing right now, but at least here in LA, things are on fire.
Yeah.
Things are on fire.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the stories. It's obviously tapping me on the shoulder.
It's almost that sick, right?
It's a good bet, Zuckerman.
Well, vaccinated, they're okay.
Zuckerman, it's a good bet.
Oh, yeah.
I am winning as I sit here.
You're not winning the bet.
Today.
You want to double it?
No.
Come on. Let's double it. 2002.
Oh.
Are you okay with $2 leaving?
Maybe. I'll
come on, sport.
Let me check my account.
I'll double it if you shorten the bet by a month.
To December 1?
To November 1.
No. December 31st, end of the year. That would be 2 months.
November 30th.
Give me until Thanksgiving. And I'll double it.
No, I want Thanksgiving.
November 30th.
What do you want? You want after?
I want after. If you, okay, we go to 2000, but you've got to go through.
I would think you
got to go through the
bet.
End of November.
But here's the problem. What day What's is Thanksgiving problem, this
dummy?
Year?
We're going to December 1st. Hey, that'll solve it. That'll solve it.
Thanksgiving's on the 28th. He may not show symptoms.
I'll take December
until
1st.
Until the 2nd.
I'll
so
take
we're,
September
we're in for 2002.
1st.
Is that okay with you?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Is that okay with you, sportsman?
So, let's be specific about the date. On December 1st, when am I testing? The last day of November or the first day of December?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you, if you test positive by November 30th.
Yes.
Which will be also my birthday season. So it's a birthday gift. If you're dead before.
I like how he has a season of birthday.
Okay, done. Deal.
2002.
Deal. I'm in.
Two?
Yep, I'm in. I'm
All
in.
Right. This All is right. the worst bet in the world for me. The government was saying 100 million people will have it by October.
Exactly.
So there's, right?
That's what I'm banking on.
But you got germs in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts, when you were a kid, and it's going to protect you, right?
I can't
And magical
tell,
thinking and whatever else.
I'm not saying magical thinking. I think I got lucky because of the timing of my second booster, and I think that warded it off.
But neither of your kids got it from the wife?
Nope.
That's crazy.
And yeah.
That's lucky.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I know. I don't know what's happening.
Okay.
But it's a good bet.
Oh, I love this
And
bet.
I'm going to tell you, it's not a confident bet for me. I don't.
Oh, you're losing.
I don't feel 100% positive I'm going to win, but I've come so far right now. I've come so far.
Right, so statistically, that's like what guy saying, I'm 99. I've come so far, I don't think I'm ever going to die. Right, that's there.
I don't agree. Otherwise, I wouldn't make the bet, Zuckerman. I'm just not as sloppy as you've been with my health.
Text Jerry, figure out when this movie wraps, because then we'll really know. Well,
what do you mean you really know?
Because the second the movie's done, your guard goes down.
Oh, no. Actually, I'll have less exposure at that point.
No. What I'm saying is you're being super careful now. Like, you would have gone to your wife's best friend's wedding in Arizona.
I would not.
He would have come up with another excuse. He's not that dumb.
How do you get out of that?
You're exactly right.
How do you get out of that?
I just say
100 different ways.
I'm just saying I'm not
going. You just take whatever excuse that you come up with.
That's wife's best friend wedding?
This is what I said. And I was 100% right. I said, she asked me to go months ago. I said, I can, we can buy the ticket and I can commit to going right now, but I will be canceling on you at the last minute. And sure enough, that morning of the wedding, that day, we had a read through, which is a script read through with full cast, and it would have been canceled.
Right.
And also the pandemic would have been the it had two reasons to cancel. And so, and then, you know, now I would never say it, but right. I'm sitting pretty with her. Yeah.
Lieberman, you're the only guy here that doesn't know how to get out of shit.
I can get out of most shit.
No,
wife's
you can't.
Best friend's wedding is.
Why, you don't get out of anything with your wife, and that's where you want to get out of.
I'll be honest with you, Johnny, I wanted to go to it. I like the maid of honor.
Sure.
And her name is Michelle Putman, and happy.
Putman?
Putman. P-U-T-M-A-N.
Oh, I thought it was P-U-P-M-A-N.
Putman. No.
Putman.
And she's marrying a swell guy who I have not met yet, and she's always been a great friend.
And is he over COVID?
I don't know what's happening with that. But we wish them a happy and healthy marriage.
Of course.
Michelle, we love you.
To last longer than average.
But that's impressive. I'm impressed. I'm sorry.
What's that?
Just getting out of that. That's impressive.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Discover Bob's Watches. Speaking of getting out of things, get out of not buying a watch. The most trusted destination to buy or sell 100% authentic luxury pre-owned watches. Shop vintage contemporary pieces from Rolex, Tudor, Omega, Breitling, Cartier, Patek, and more. Explore thousands of models available now at bobswatches.com. Overnight delivery and free shipping included. I buy their watches. I sell their watches. I love their watches. And I get to take watches. Did you see this watch?
I heard about this. Bill
this
is telling me about
is
it.
Is the Panerai Lumina Marina Tutto Grigio, which means all gray.
Yeah, I like
Carbotech, carbon fiber, and carbon colored dial.
I like
It's called the Ghost.
Yes, it's gray on gray.
And doesn't it look like the interior of a Tesla? Hulk, right?
It's been so long since I've been in a Tesla. But no, Bill, we were admiring Bill's Panerai today in Misha.
That's my old watch.
And then he's like, have you seen Spike's? And then I got a new watch.
No, but I sold him that watch.
It's a nice watch.
Because what I do, even though I love this watch, it's too big for my wrist.
Mm.
But, and I do this with a Panerai, I'll forget that and then buy one every 4 years and then I end up selling it. So this way I get to take the Bob's watch out for a little ride.
No, it's sweet.
And I like the big and easy to read dial because of my old man eyes.
That's good.
It's big, but I don't think it's too big on you.
You don't? It looks
it's
like
a big, borderline. It's a big thing, but it's supposed to be big.
But yeah, my next big watch is going to be a Panerai.
Speaking of big watches, let's talk about a couple things because there's some interesting stuff happening in the car collector market and there in the watch collecting market. Let me find this stuff. Obviously, you've seen what's been going on with Tesla's precipitous fall, 44% stock price.
I've been just following what Mr. Musk is turning into on Twitter, and it's really like, what is happening?
Yeah. It's the funniest thing because that's the market for his cars, but he's poking at them. But more interesting is earlier, I think in the year, I was saying the everything bubble seems to be deflating, or it's going to. And I think we're at that moment because I'm watching company stock prices go down.
Well, we're in a recession. It's
the Rolex market is finally. Somebody sent me this. The secondary market in Rolex watches is highly liquid. The average Rolex now sells for $15,000 up from less than 5,000 in 2011. That's where it has been. But prices are finally softening in recent months. The first sustained down market since Rolex watches became an investment grade asset. A lot of people are buying was from people thinking prices can't go down. That's my favorite. I remember that.
How are they
going to
go down?
One of the writers, buy a house. It's going to be great. Just buy more of them. They'll just keep going up. And I would go, they go up and up forever, don't they? They never stop. And then there was a recession. And then the same thing happened in 2008. Same thing. Here we are again. Be careful if you've put all your money into Rolex watches.
Or NFTs.
Then that's another one. So,
or Bitcoin.
So the NFT cryptocurrency, I have the little coin base or whatever they call it. The kids and I bought crypto just for fun. But not a lot, just to watch it go up and down and talk about investing and the rest of it. That little account just went down to zero pretty much. Evaporated. I don't remember. I like Dogecoin.
That's a bad one.
I like all of them, but even Bitcoin. But
yeah, Bitcoin's good.
But I was not investing per se because I knew it was a whole lot of horseshit. And I know folks listening out there going, no, it's not. But most of it
CJ Wilson's coming to
most of
down,
it is a Ponzi scheme. And that market has suddenly gone poof, disappeared.
It just lost 60% of its value in a month.
I think that's the case. I think things are deflating to what they're actually worth. I don't think things are collapsing. I think, and I'm just getting to the car market. That's the next thing, and the thing that kind of impacts this podcast.
But real quick, what Rolexes have gone down? Like what?
I heard that a white face Daytona, which was trading at 50, is now in the 30s or something.
Whoa, that's a drop, really?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Because I know somebody who bought a $57,000 white face Daytona.
But you're still great if you got it at list price.
No, he got it at 57.
I understand that.
Yeah. He probably doesn't care, but
good point.
You know, it's only recently that new stuff has been going up, right? Remember, you'd have a new car, and then 3 years later, even a GT3, it was just declining in value. Things, you're lucky to get them, and they start hot, like this GT4, this GT3 Touring that we have. We saw advertised as high as $200 over sticker, just doubling the price.
Yeah.
Right? That's stupidity. And that's not real. There's something wrong there, and I think people are finally realizing it, or whatever's happening is happening. Just be careful. In the middle of it, though, is this gigantic Mercedes sale, $142 million.
Dollars and euro.
It was 135 million euro. That's a good price for that, honestly. Those are the sickest, most amazing cars. I've seen that car several times.
How many are there?
Two.
Yeah. Smashing Ferrari classic car records. Here it is in Bloomberg, written by our friend Hannah Elliott. In 1955, Mercedes 300 SLR Uhlenhaut Coupe sold for $142 million. Now, I heard Oh, it was in a secret auction in Germany on May 5th. I heard proceeds went to charity.
There's a charity involved, yeah.
So that might explain...
The tax dodge.
Is there one in Germany? Is there a tax dodge in Germany?
Oh, I have no idea.
There's always a tax dodge somewhere.
Yeah.
But while higher price deals may have taken place privately, the sale by the car company crushed the previous public record.
$70 million.
$48.4 million.
No, it's 70 for the GTO.
Ferrari.
Yeah. Hannah made a mistake. That's okay.
It's not a mistake.
Well, she said previous record of $40 million for that same vehicle.
Previous public record of $48.4 million paid in 2018 for 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO at Arm Sotheby's. That's correct.
Oh, there was a private sale of a... Okay,
she fine, said private no sale. Private sales. I just read that.
All right. I thought you meant private sales of... anyway.
He don't listen. He's too busy worrying about his $2 in the bag. Sweating it out.
He's sweating it out from his COVID.
You know, I only make dollar bets because I just don't care that much about betting, and that way it's easy for everybody.
Yeah, shut up.
What is it about this car, Johnny?
Come on.
Why is this the holy grail?
Oh, well, it's the SLR, so it's a W196. So the W196 chassis. The actual most valuable car in the world is probably the Stirling Moss car that he set the Mille Miglia record in. So it's the same car. That engine, chassis, everything, transmission is the same car as the Stirling Moss car, the two-seater. They just made a coupe body with gullwing doors out of it. Mm-hmm. The Stirling Moss, the 10-hour car, is the 722. It's as close to a priceless car as is there is in the world. Yeah,
the Mona Lisa. Imagine 10 hours to do 1,000
miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 hours, 11 minutes.
1955.
One,
this man had balls of steel.
And one car was good uppers.
One car was driven by Argentine star Juan Manuel Fangio.
Yeah.
To win world championships in 54, 55, but it had an even bigger 3-liter engine and the moniker SLR. Of the 9 300 SLR cars, two were special SLR Uhlenhaut coupe prototypes named after Rudolf Uhlenhaut, Mercedes test department head. He drove one as a company car. Wow.
So cool. Uhlenhaut's the guy who's the engineer behind the W194, which was the first of those 10 Mercedes mm-hmm. race cars in 52 that they won the Carrera Panamericana for the first time since World War II. Germany had done something good. Very important car. Then came the W196, Stirling Moss and all that. So then he made two of these, and they just hung around the factory, hung around the museum. They were never owned by anybody, and it's almost the holy grail. It's a great example. If you found another Da Vinci that was like the test for the Mona Lisa, you know what I mean? It's like that kind of value.
These cars are never sold, which is why the price were so high. That's right. One was used as a company car. The other one is squirreled away in the Mercedes vault. Have you ever seen that?
I've sat in that car. So that's the red interior.
But have you ever seen the Mercedes vault?
I've been in two of the three vaults.
Where are they?
They're in, they're in near Stuttgart in, I can't remember the name of the town, little suburb of Stuttgart.
They always call these, the Peterson
the
does it
halls.
Too. They
the
call,
holy halls.
They call them vaults, and they imply there's a big door that you have to open with it, but it's a big, you're just talking about a room, right?
Describe this room a little bit wider and taller. Fellbach. It's in Fellbach, Germany.
With doors.
Yeah, there's a big, big garage. It's a big, big warehouse.
And is there a level of secrecy about going in to see it, or?
Vault 3 you can't see. You can see Vault 1 is cars, Vault 2 is motorsports, so I think this one...
And what is in Vault 3?
Nazi shit. And I was like...
How do you know that?
God, they'll tell you. And I've said, like, you know how only Nixon could open China? Only Lieberman can open Vault 3. Like, let me in. And they always say no. But so their thing is... Their thing is that...
Hitler's car is in there, please.
Yes.
I'm so excited. Wait.
I saw Goebbels' six-wheeler. It was being repaired. It was under a tarp, and I was lifting it up, and this guy like, smacked my hand.
Hold on.
I go, just tell me whose it is. He's like, oh, sorry. He goes, Goering.
So wait, you're saying Mercedes is sitting on a bunch of Nazi Mercedes memorabilia.
Hold on.
Let me finish my sentence. They're sitting on a lot of Nazi memorabilia. In vault number three.
Mercedes memorabilia.
Hold on, Zuckerman. Hold on. Johnny.
Yes? Can I speak?
Can I ask the question? Did you hear the question?
I am saying that.
And they stood outside
the door and said, open it. And they said, no.
Right. And people know that?
I know that.
That seems like a pretty big story.
Yeah. You can't see it. Here's the deal.
If you just let me, said it.
Can
though.
I talk? Can I talk? So the deal is, they go, look, these are Mercedes. It's part of our history.
Yeah.
We don't like the people in the world who want to buy them.
Right. I see.
So we don't think our history should be destroyed. We don't know what to do with them. So we're going to warehouse them. And maybe in 100 years, we'll be able to show them off and it won't be so charged. And, you know, we don't know. But they also,
maybe after the next election.
But they, but they don't want them out in the world.
Jesus.
Those are some real tasty pieces. Well,
that's a valid reason. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
They don't,
every time one of those cars goes up for auction, one was up for auction recently.
And the people that buy them are not good people. Usually.
Well, it's just that the publicity itself is bad for Mercedes.
There's also
I understand that.
It's also like, you know, you don't want like the leader of the American Nazi Party getting, you know,
they Hitler's have, car.
You think they have that kind of money?
Okay, you know what I'm saying? The people.
No, I think you're wrong about it. But here's what I believe and what I do agree with you with. I understand what they're saying. Because I remember 3 or 4 years ago, one of those cars came up and suddenly it's news.
It's everywhere.
The history of the car is there. So why not capture it, lock them up, and keep the story out of the news?
That's the plan.
And kick it down the road for the next boss of Mercedes. That makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And they said, you know, and the cars are probably beautiful. I mean, look, there's a couple 770 grocers in there. They're gorgeous. All the G35 6x6s. Yeah,
you know what they could do if they really wanted to do? It would be a great thing. They could just round them up and burn them. and just get rid of them. No, just get rid of them.
I don't want them gone.
We don't want this in our history.
You can't erase your history.
Yeah,
they're doing the right thing by keeping it, and I'd actually like to see it.
And I'll say this about Mercedes. If you go to the museum, they actually talk about, like, you know, the war years. They actually talk about, like, Mercedes' role in the Nazi war machine. If you go to the Porsche Museum, it's like, they're like, just poof, he disappeared. Then he was in prison in 1947. I don't know. Like, there's no mention of what Dr. Porsche did for, you know, from 1939 till 1945. It's literally not in the museum.
The technology used in the SLR or the 300 SL Gullwing and Roadster, those were technologies that were used in World War II. Both the engine, 6 cylinders of the 12-cylinder fighter engine, and the Bosch fuel injection.
Bosch fuel injection for sure. Also on those, the W196 that sold and the W194s, the metal was airplane metal.
Molly chrome.
Well, it was magnesium alloy. I forget the name of it. It was magnesium and aluminum alloy. And a lot of the, like in the W194s, the gauges were like from a Junker bomber, you know what I mean? Like they, you know, so there was a lot of war surplus.
Formula One racing season is going strong, and next up is Monaco. Get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first bet of $5 or more, and if your bet loses, you get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can experience the thrills of racing on the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports app. Go full throttle till the checkered flag drops and compete for your share of over $100,000 in prizes. Draft your lineup of 5 drivers and 1 constructor to rack up points for top finishes, laps, lead, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Don't miss out on all the action this week at DraftKings. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SPIKE911 at sign up. New customers can place their first bet of $5 or more on the race. If your bet loses, you'll get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's code SPIKE911 at DraftKings Sportsbook. SPIKE911 at DraftKings Sportsbook. I must below if
well read.
You must include the below disclaimer in the show notes section of the episode. Oh, okay. So there's a disclaimer there, but check it out. New sponsor, huh? DraftKings. Look at that.
Gambling. I like that.
Do you gamble?
Yes.
What do you like to gamble?
I'll lose a shot.
No, I play poker. I won like $1,200 or something the other weekend in Vegas.
Oh, you play poker?
I do play poker. Pretty serious.
What do you get out of it?
Money. You get money out of it.
No, but what? What do you get out of the experience?
I earn about $400 an hour is what I get out of it.
So you make money.
I did this week time, yeah.
And you were in Vegas.
I went to Vegas a few weeks ago, yeah.
Do you worry about getting sick now that you've been sick?
I'm going to start
to worry. Did you wear a mask?
No, because I'd just gotten over COVID. There's no point. I'm going to start to worry soon because now that my antibodies are probably going down and I haven't got my second booster yet, I'm probably in a bit of a danger area. But I did not worry at that Vegas trip. I'd like, I got the clean bill of health.
What is Vegas like? I haven't been there in a couple of years. I mean, is it just as crazy and fun?
Just as crazy. They're waiting for the F1 race.
Are people still smoking?
Not as much, but yes, definitely still smoking.
I found a couple of hotels last time there that were non-smoking hotels that actually made the city very nice to be in.
We stayed at the Vidara and it was non-smoking.
Stayed there.
Yeah,
it's fine. Good.
Yeah.
You go, all right, this is a Vegas I can handle.
Yeah. You know.
When is this F1 race coming?
November 2023.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's great. That's going to be fun.
It's down the strip. It's going to be the most insane race. It's a night race down the strip, like in front of the Bellagio. We're definitely going. It's going to be the craziest race.
We're going to do a show up in Monterey, Pebble Beach, Spike's Car Radio, Spike Ferriston panel with special guest to be determined.
Ooh.
TBD.
TBD. But there's an idea floating around that's pretty cool. And of course, it's Porsche centric. And if I can figure it out, I will figure it out. But we'll definitely be up there. Maybe you guys will be there. I don't know.
I'll be there.
You're going to be there?
I'm there every year.
You are?
That's my favorite thing, yeah.
Well, let me know. Make sure you know what day.
Yeah. I'll be there the whole time.
I might need you up there.
I'll be there. I'll be there for you.
We'll have a nice little show because the forum now is at not Spanish Bay. They told me they're moving it to the main area.
Oh.
Out at the inn, right? Isn't that what they call it?
No, at the
lodge.
The lodge, which is way better. Swiggins and Peabody will be there.
I mean, I like Spanish Bay.
I like Spanish Bay too, but I like that it's switching it up. The lodge is really cool. The Rum Dums, as Zuckerman called it. We have so much fun up there when we go. Zuckerman draws penises on the little pads outside the elevators and then calls my attention to it. Hey, look, I did it again.
No, here's a message for you.
That's good.
And I'm kind of up for a car thing. I'm excited to go and do a car thing. I know.
It was great last year. It was so good to be back. Yeah, it was good. Wasn't crazy crowded, which was also nice.
Villa d'Este looked great. There's a lot of Villa d'Este on social media right now.
Oh, it does look good.
That's an amazing show. That is an amazing show.
Next year in Lake Como.
Well, it just happened.
No, I was saying next year.
Lago di Como.
It's such beautiful scenery and such amazing cars. It's really nuts.
Yeah, and two or three decent people, too.
It's very Richie Rich. I always like to tell the story of the person I've met several times who has helicopters at their disposal, who saw me there and said, "What are you doing here?"
I love that.
And he wasn't joking.
That's great. I like generational wealth. That's really
good. It was really good. Yeah. It was a nice dose of humility for me.
That's great.
It was. Yeah. I wanted that separation. I didn't want to be a part of some of the people there.
Yeah.
And then there were a bunch of journalists and cool folks like James Stacy, our buddy from Hodinkee. He and I hung out and smoked cigars on the outside and poked fun at everybody, and it made it fun.
That's great.
And James, I was there with the watch brand, the German watch brand.
IWC.
No.
Nomos.
Songhai, not Nomos. Sonia and Longa.
Long and Sons. Yeah.
Longer Son.
A Long and Son. Yeah. Nice. That's a nice brand.
But the IWC people are trying to woo me. They just offered me one of those Top Gun watches, and I think I'm getting it.
They tried to take me to Miami. I couldn't do it. And then they were threatening Monaco's next weekend, and I think they're doing a trip to Monaco.
I don't know much about that brand.
I have one.
They reach out periodically, and they sent me some of their new stuff, and I said, "All right, I'll buy that."
That's cool. Marsden is like the face of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he the face of the brand, they made a 20-minute movie, and he played the founder.
Oh boy,
of IWC. He loves it. Oh, he's in. He's in. He went to the Miami race with IWC.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I saw him.
Yeah, he was with them,
and he survived. Let me do the last ad, and then we'll talk about cars. Do you have a Carter review?
Maserati, or
and Zuckerman, you had something to talk about that tickled me.
Know. Or we had Mickey Mouse too. We always had Mickey Mouse.
I want to hear that. That's such a fun Zuckerman story. Let's do that. Hold on. Let me just do this. Our friends at Graphene Nano Spray Coating, who is also another. Aren't we talking about them every week? These guys.
Hey,
I once again use their stuff.
I need to get that from you.
Keep your car looking its absolute best year-round with 303 Cleaners and Protectants. Hey, 303 guys, send me some stuff for Johnny Lieberman. Graphene Nano Spray Coating gives you professional protection in a simple-to-use formula. It will keep your car's paint protected up to 12 months and give you an insane level of depth and gloss. You can also use their brand-new 303 Graphene Detailer to boost protection, slickness, and shine throughout the year. It can even be used for quick cleanups of light dust, fingerprints between washes for a 1-2 punch. Keep your car looking its best. Look no further than 303's line of graphene products, 303 Graphene Nano Spray Coating to protect. I used it on the GT3 Touring, Zuckerman. That's what I used it on the other day. Check them out. You can find 303 products at Advanced Auto Parts, AutoZone, select Walmart locations, or visit 303radio.com for more information. And I use it. I've been using it a lot. I don't know what's happening, but my cars are getting hit by birds.
Springtime, Ferriston.
My wife's car got attacked by a bird.
Birds and bees. Springtime.
I saw a Porsche this morning that was parked under the tree.
Oh no!
Oh my god! It was like
it's unbelievable.
It was insane.
I saw one last night. The woman came and she just went, "What happened?" It was a black car just covered in white from head to toe.
This was a black
it's
Cayenne.
It's impressive.
Because I was like, "Oh, that's a weird like." You know, spotted.
Yeah, it looks like splashed paint. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Birds have cloacas, which means they have one opening for both things that come out of them.
Right.
And one, he knows.
And the crane, he has a cloaca?
Yes. All purpose. Pee-pee, poo-poo reproduction.
Jerry and I were smoking cigars there last night. I was looking up at the birds. It comes through those pine trees and fans up. It's really impressive.
I couldn't believe it, because the guy had to be parked there a half hour, and it was the entire left side of the vehicle was like white teardrops. It was horrible.
I wish I had some music for this next segment, but it's Zuckerman's Breakdowns in Public.
It's an MRI meltdown.
You've been really good, actually, after, you know, I used to hear these stories a lot, and it's been years and years.
I haven't lost my shit in a long time.
I've heard you lose your shit, but here's today's story. This is some pure uncut Zuckerman for you out in the world.
I have to,
What were you doing?
I had to get an MRI. I have injuries from that last accident that remain unresolved, and I might need a little knee procedure, but I got to get an MRI of the knee. And I've got to go. It's 6:30 on a Monday night, and I'm stressed. I've had a bad day. I get to the facility in Beverly Hills on Wilshire Boulevard, and the first thing that sets me off, the parking structure's closed. They've closed guest parking because it's after 6:30. How the hell does a business have running a business that you can't park? You can't park anywhere there. And the only place I can park is a yellow zone. And there happens to be a carload of tweakers. The only tweakers in Beverly Hills. Every window in the car but the windshield is made out of clear plastic bags and duct tape. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to park here and I'm going to come out and my car is going to look like that too.
What are you driving?
I'm driving the new 95 Cabriolet.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, do I say, like, touch the car and it's World War III or just pretend I don't see them? Anyway, I go into the place and the first thing I notice, it really looks like Social Security office. And there is this Russian woman who has her feet, her shoes off and her socks off, is massaging her feet and every 3 minutes getting up and slamming the counter with her foot hands, screaming that she has to pee. And apparently she's got some STD or other condition that requires her to have a full bladder before she gets scanned. And then she's putting her husband on the phone, on the speaker, to scream that his wife has to pee, she has to pee, and there's other people there. And I'm just waiting an hour there.
An hour?
An hour, losing my mind. Oh. And then I get a call. Mr. Zuckerman, come up. Oh, we didn't run your health insurance, so we can't see you unless you want to pay cash. The first thing
that's the first thing.
And I should have walked out. And I thought about walking out the door and saying, do this another time. But okay.
I've done that. I don't say a word. I just walk.
I just take my car. Just charge me. I can't wait any longer because I've been waiting for 2 weeks to get into this place for whatever reason. I go into the little room. I strip down. I put on the stupid robe. I'm in my underwears with my socks on.
In my underwears.
In my underwears. And the lady on the other side comes and says, sir, we can't do this. And I go, why? She goes, well, you have that piece of metal in your body.
His penis.
Yes.
His heart.
No, shrapnel from Nom.
It's his heart. It's his heart.
Chi-coms, wet ops. Yeah, whatever.
His robot penis.
What piece of metal is this?
The long story. Let's not just go ahead. It's the plate in my skull.
Right,
okay.
right.
But I've got this thing. And I said, well, yeah. When I made the appointment, I told you 8 days ago when I told you I was cleared. I was cleared for an EMRI. And she goes, well, where's the doctor's report? I said, you didn't tell me. Well, it's for your safety, sir. And every time I say, yeah, but I told you, my time's been wasted. I've been here for an hour. The lady says, I understand, sir. And at the third time she says, I understand.
Yeah.
I realize she's been trained. This is like, you know, page two of the manual, the employee's manual.
Zuckerman.
You know, just keep saying you understand. And right. I said, no, you don't understand. And you're basically just telling me to shut the fuck up. Ooh. And then she says, you don't need to say that. And I say, I understand. But we're having this game, and I'm really upset at this point because I've waited and I just want to get this done and get the fuck out of there and hope my car's still in one piece and I can still hear the Russian, I don't want to say yeah, screaming. And so I put my clothes back on and I want to leave. And as I'm leaving, the higher up manager lady wants to assault me, still telling me it's for my safety. And I say, yes, I understand it's for my safety. That's why I told you.
Already.
Told you. So I've said this seven times. I don't want to play this game anymore. Don't peddle out the safety thing to cover up for your incompetence, for wasting my time. And I just want my goddamn money back at this point. And she says, you don't need to be rude. And I said, wasting my time is rude, and I don't think I'm being rude. And at that moment, there's a lady. Little old lady from our tribe. Little old lady from our tribe, Lieberman. She's got a little thatch of purpley old Brillo pad hair. And she's got tattooed on eyebrows. And she's had, I don't know, seven procedures on her face, and her nose is about 10% of what she came from the factory with, and she's had so many peels you don't even know if you're looking at skin or some right. other kind of
yes.
a fascia.
Yeah, it's like a wood. Yeah, I know.
And
yeah,
she
yeah.
looks up at me and goes, well, I think you're rude.
She wasn't even a part of this conversation.
No, she's just another patient that just wants to give it.
And she says,
I think you're rude.
I think you're rude.
And I looked at her and I said, take your carved up face and get the fuck away from me.
She said, take your carved up face.
And get the fuck away from me.
To an old lady. And what was her response?
She looked at it. I said, well, look, if you want to comment on my personality, I think it's fair game for me to comment on your looks.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can both get excessively personal. And then she turned away like, whoa! And she like, I threw wet water on her. And I said, then at that point, I'm wound up. And I said, what's the matter? You don't want to play anymore? Come on. It's just getting fun. Let's keep going.
And real
Let's
quick.
Let's keep going.
I'm picturing you in your robe and
no,
underwear.
No, I'm no longer in my underwear. Okay. But I mean, I put back on my suit.
You don't want to play anymore?
You don't want to play? Lady. Come on, lady. You want to get in my shit? None of your business. What are you talking to me? Why are you even talking to me? And then the manager lady says, sir, you're going to have to leave. I said, want to leave. I was leaving, and you stopped me. And then she says, I don't think we want you to come back. What makes you think I'm coming back to this shithole? I'm never coming back to this fucking place. And then I said, there's more MRI facilities in Beverly Hills and gas stations, and you can probably get one of these cheaper. I'm not coming back here. Never coming back here.
Zuckerman was thrown out of the MRI.
I love it. I love it. I got it was.
You're not coming back.
Not coming back here.
I don't want to.
And it, you know what?
So
only
good.
To do was just let me walk out. There was nothing. There was.
See,
no
I wanted you to tell this story because I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, one thing I've learned, and I learned this on Seinfeld. One of the things that made a story work was I know you didn't do it, but what did you want to do in the moment? And that's a story like that. Except you actually did it. I would write the story with the guy doing that. You wouldn't do it in normal life, but you actually did it. And I thought the listeners would really appreciate it. I'm sure they are loving that story. But that's full on old school Zuckerman.
Oh, for real.
It's tangling with the old ladies. You always tangle with old ladies.
No, they want to tangle with me.
No, but you have a trigger with old women for some reason.
No, there was the old Russian lady who said, I told her to stop telling the
okay, at the bagel place.
He left out a part.
She told
bagel place.
The bagel place. She told the guy that he was. She said, "You call this toast? This looks like shit. What are you, stupid?" I said, "Leave the guy alone." And she said,
"So
to
you
me,
butted into her life?"
Well, I did. Well, she was really being nasty.
Yeah,
this
okay.
Guy,
but I was making five bucks an hour.
And then she looked at me up and down, and she said to me, "She says I'm going to call the police. They'll come and arrest you. You look like a criminal." And I said to her, "And when they don't arrest me, they'll arrest you because you look like a whore."
Oh, no.
So good.
Well, okay, but
so if you want, good.
If you, but I'll play with, you know, any. If you want to so play, good. Let's play.
Oh, boy. It is true. It is true.
That's so
but
good.
But what is it about? Why is it old women, or is it just anybody who jumps into a fight that's
it's
not
the
theirs?
Old women who for what for whatever
is
reason
it your mom,
feel.
Do you think this has to do with your mom?
Probably. Okay. Everything does.
100%.
But wait, no. I don't think men would just, you wouldn't have some guy just interject the way or say these crazy things.
Things working correctly, I don't know why it doesn't bother more people. You know, I just think there are so many people who are just brain dead out there who just... But I'm like you. Things should work a certain way. There should be efficiency, and if they're not, it really upsets me.
Yeah, and don't try
really
to
really
calm
upsets
me.
Just hearing these stories, it upsets
8
me.
Days or 2 weeks I'm waiting, and I'm in pain. I just want to get this thing and get fixed. I just want to get fixed. And so I'm in there because I don't feel good. And then they want to tell me that their incompetence is that they're not incompetent, that they're doing it for my safety.
Right. I did it.
Right.
Just tell me you fucked up. So sorry.
I'll tell you what. My kid's computer went out, and I called my tech person, and they were on vacation. So they said, call Geek Squad. And that meant getting in touch with Best Buy somehow. Yeah, and I was on this chat off hours, and it said, enter your information in, enter your problem. And I did that. And I waited 20 minutes. And then someone with many consonants in their name came on and said, hi, I'm from Geek Squad in the chat. What can I help you with? I said, I need to know if Geek Squad still comes to houses and fixes PCs. And then he said, I need you to enter all of this information.
Right.
And then I typed in,
right.
I've already done that, and I'm not going to do it a second time.
Right.
Geek Squad, the tech place. And he said, well, I need all your information before. I said, just answer the question. He goes, I need all your information. And then I fucking hung up. And then I Googled this place, Hello Tech, within a minute, like the next morning. I think it was called HelloTech.com or something. I put in the problem, and the next day, this guy named David calls at 10 a.m. He goes, I'm out in front of your house, and he fixed it in a second. Geek Squad, I can't even comprehend the difference in, but, you know, whatever.
Right.
Find a different MRI place.
Yeah.
It's already done.
We had, the night before we went to Disneyland, we decided to stay at a hotel.
Oh, God. You do everything wrong.
My wife's like... What's that?
You have to go if you have a kid.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Just once.
We'll get to that. But anyways, my wife's like, oh, it's a Sheraton 4 points. It's Marriott. We'll get our points. It's across the street from Disneyland. It'll be great. So you now, because we're Marriott, you get a virtual key on your phone. We go up to the room. Doesn't unlock. I go downstairs. I go, virtual key didn't work. Can I have some real keys? Go back up. The keys don't work. Go down. The keys you just gave me don't work. Go back up. Keys works. Room's filthy. There's like dirty towels on the sink. And I'm like, you know, I call the guy, and he's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He comes up, puts us in another room. It's a terrible hotel. It was never a Sheraton. It was, you know, it was like a motel. Anyways, the next morning.
A Sheraton is a bad hotel.
It is a bad hotel. It was cheap. As my wife said, I'm never booking a hotel again. You do it.
By their nature, hotels are all horrible.
Yes.
It's just they're kennels for humans.
So then.
So that's what they
the
are.
Shelter.
The kennel shelter with people pooping and having sex in them and spilling.
And they basically, they kind of just brush out the hair out of the bed and they make the
they
sheets. They don't even change the sheets.
So next morning, trying to get out, we parked, there's like a gate. You know, you got to use your key to get out. Virtual key doesn't work. The room key, I left him in the room. Go to the front desk. I need to get a new key.
You're back in the same situation.
Then I go, and it doesn't work. And I go back. I go, the key you just gave me doesn't work. He goes, where are you trying? I go, the gate where my car is. He goes, oh, yeah, that gate doesn't work. And I'm just like... Anyway, so they sent me a survey. So I told him about, you know, like I'm a lifetime platinum elite at Marriott. Like, this is ridiculous. They actually called me. Like, the guy from the hotel called me.
He did?
Yeah. He's like, I'm so sorry. Like, this is so embarrassing. And I'm like, Jesus.
So what are you getting? You get another visit there?
Well, I'm probably going to get 5,000 Marriott points. No, I don't know what I'm getting.
Extra bowl of food.
Yeah. I mean, we lost 5 minutes to Disneyland, which isn't the worst thing in the world.
So. I can't believe you went there. Oh, I never went.
Oh, well, that's amazing. Because this was, I don't like Disneyland. My wife, who likes it, we're going to be married 12 years. I went 14 years ago when we were dating for 4 hours. We got there at 8. We left at noon. That was perfect. It was a Tuesday. We got in for free.
I think it's fun. I think it's fun.
There's nothing fun.
No.
Yeah.
The
it's
rides
classic
aren't...
family stuff.
Mm.
Even the pain is classic family stuff.
We did it pretty pain-free. The people we went with, these people exist. They go like twice a month.
Yeah.
That's their thing. They go to Disneyland twice a month.
You can get the concierge guy. You can get the guy to make it easy.
They knew how to do everything. So we never were in a line, which was nice.
But you know the bad part of that, though?
Yeah. Well, no.
The concierge will put you in front of people, but usually it's people in wheelchairs.
Yeah, it's awful.
So, I mean, the whole you're walking in front of...
Everyone has to be the same.
Well, that was... Look, my thing was, I'm looking around and like... You know, it's not a pretty sight. Like, the Disneyland is fine. The guests. And I'm like...
Why would they do this to any guests? That they have one set of guests waiting, even the wheelchair folks.
I didn't
folks.
Mean that.
No,
I
I'm telling you, they let you pay to be in front of other people waiting.
Yeah.
Which is a very uncomfortable experience. It's not...
What Disneyland is about. Disneyland is about everybody's experiences the same thing. Let me just tell you what the real event should be, the real ride should be. You bring your kid there, you spin him around with a blindfold, and you run off. And then he gets to experience being lost in Disneyland and crying and getting taken to the Disneyland lost and found office, because that's really what
happened.
You
didn't take your kids to Disneyland?
No. No,
that's crazy.
I take him to any religious thing either. We don't do that stuff.
What does that have to do with anything?
My dad, he hated Disneyland like poison. And my mom would force him to go, and he'd bitch. He'd sit there the whole time, my whole childhood. He was just like in line. He's like, I'm going to open a new ride at Disneyland. It's going to be a line. You just stand in a line. You get to the end, and you walk away. No one would know the difference. You know, that was his whole
my
thing.
Brother, my dad, it's the only trip we ever went on. We only went on one vacation growing up. We had no money for vacations because dad was gambling it all away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we went to Disney World in Florida, and my dad spent the time drinking and smoking in his room with my mom and said, yeah, just go rent the boats or something. And Wally and I got in these speedboats, and immediately I crashed into the ferry and sunk my boat, which is an unsinkable boat.
Right, right.
They said, safety you got to stay however far away from the ferry. It's just right
out. Have that ride.
All I heard was go at the ferry and do jumps.
Right.
What do you say I can't do? That's what I'm going to do. And I remember going into the air and close to that spinning wheel in the back, and then coming down and the wave going, and the boat went underwater and I was tethered to it trying to undo the clip.
Oh,
and my brother rescued me. It was so exciting.
Well, no wonder why.
And Zuckerman, listen to this.
Your miserable childhood.
This is how much oversight I had. I was dressed like this at the beach.
To drown.
I had jeans, sneakers, a hoodie, or whatever I had in the heat.
Yeah.
That my parents didn't even say get in a bathing suit.
Right.
And I had to come out of the water. And then we went home. We got in trouble. We wouldn't tell them what room we were in. So like the sheriff was there. There was a Disney World sheriff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he yanked us on. He goes, what's your name? We just wouldn't tell him anything. He goes, get out of here. And I remember walking in the room and my mother looked at me. She goes, what happened to you? Because I'm soaking wet in my jeans. And, you know, classic young Michael Ferriston. I was fooling around and I fell in the pool. And they laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And I lied my way right out of it. And nice. I never knew. And when my dad was checking out, he saw the billing for the boat. And he goes, what is this? And we went, I don't know. It must be a mistake. And he just went ballistic on the front desk.
That's great.
While we sat there white-faced.
Fantastic.
And they just didn't have the infrastructure to check the story. And the 250 got deleted. And there you go.
Nice.
You like that, Zuckerman?
That's the best part.
That's a good Disneyland story.
That's a good Disneyland story.
Ripped off. You're silent.
My dad went through life thinking he was getting ripped off. But that's just fats.
Okay.
Gone now. That's it. What?
You're allowed to like Disney.
No one else is. With a story like that, that's okay. You can yeah. like it.
It was actually so exciting to be on an airplane. I was so excited to be flying through the air. The vacation part, just I had not experienced vacation. Then flying home, we had one of those crazy turbulence flights where everybody thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
People were going to throwing up.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. It was so dramatic and those, wonderful. You know, it was just nice.
You know what plane you were on? A 707.
Yeah,
a
little, probably.
Yeah.
Those right. were 720s.
No, back then when we were kids, I flew to Florida in a 707.
Yeah.
I had a metal tray with a piece of fried chicken yeah. on it.
And
it
smokers.
Was, yeah.
And, oh, and yeah. smokers.
Oh. A wonderful experience.
I remember smoking on planes. That was fun.
It was
that
good. Was fun. It was yeah, a good time.
I liked when they declared that there were not smoking zones. Imagine being right. in the seats in front yeah. of me, three scotches in and a cigarette.
Yeah. Fats was putting cigarettes out in the seat, just like
yeah,
just putting holes in the blue leather.
I flew from like London to Lisbon on Air Belfast, and like the guy next to me was this big African guy, and he pulls out. And like from Nigeria or something, and he pulls out a bottle of vodka, and the stewardess grabs it and takes a shot. I was like, this is a party.
Wow.
The entire plane was smoking. We were all drunk. It was fantastic.
And it seemed completely normal.
It was normal.
Right?
The 90s.
And now,
it was great.
We're old men remembering this insane time.
I know. It was great, though.
What's happening right now that's insane that we don't know?
COVID parties? I don't know.
I mean, I can't tell.
I don't
what
know.
Is it?
I don't know.
Maybe it's just people driving around in cars, that everybody has their own 2-ton vehicle and they have to pilot it around. I don't know. But that's all the time we have, Zuckerman.
Okay.
What do you got? Mm-hmm. You were about
to
say something.
I was going
to
say, just the thought of ashtrays in the bathrooms of an airplane, like some fat guy's taking a dump and smoking.
That was living.
That was 20 minutes of smoking and dumping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now it's just
that fat. First class, yeah. baby.
Now it's just fat guys taking dumps on planes. No smoke. We'll leave you
with that thought, ladies and gentlemen. That's Disneyland.
That guy's taking dumps.
Well, that I was only sent a couple. I was sending pictures of the fat guys at Disneyland.
Oh man!
I just wanted Zuckerman to be there to look at these 400 pounders trying to get on the Matterhorn. It was so beautiful.
I don't.
Oh, there are many overweight people. They struggle like we all do.
I mean, I'm fat. They were fat. It was funny. It was good.
I think that's just America right now. I just noticed coming out of the pandemic, we're all just carrying extra pounds.
Mm.
It's rough. It's time to lose them, though. It's time to lose them. All right. That's our show for this week. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.